You have your Bibles today. I want you to turn with me over to Matthew 20, 25 through 27. And I'm also, but I'm separating the next verse out, even though it follows Matthew 20, 27, Matthew 20, 28. I'm using the screens today because I have a lot of scripture that I want you to follow along with and to see. I believe God is wanting to speak to your heart today in a beautiful way. A way that will remind you just who we are and what character that we need to have in our life every day. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave." That's a powerful scripture that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And I want you to realize that what he said there in verse 25 is very prophetic, and it continues to be prophetic. He's saying in the world, people are different than the way we are. He's saying that in the world, people lord over you. They remind you that they are your boss or their employer. They remind you just who they are, or they threaten you just on who they are and what they can do to your life. Now, I want you to know that in the body of Christ, this is happening too. In a way that is not really pleasing to God at all. I have seen it over and over again, and more so in the last 25 years than ever before, how it's growing in this way, as though the world has come into the church in many ways, but also in this way, to where it's almost fulfilling verse 25 in the church. But he says in verse 26, "But among you," and that "you" means, even though he's speaking to his disciples, that "you" spreads out to the church. That he's actually saying, "Among you will be different." And then he goes on and gives what I just said. "Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant." And every leader and every pastor should be a servant leader. And that's how it goes. "And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave," must become your servant, must become that person who is willing to serve. Now in Matthew 20 and 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." There was his destiny written right there in Matthew 28. He's saying, I didn't come to be ministered unto. I don't want you to serve me. He said, "I've come to serve. And I've come that I would give my life a ransom for many." It is amazing to me that how many people on this earth, when he walked this earth, wanted him to be king. That's why they put on his cross the sign, "King of the Jews." You have to understand that the people, the reason they cried out so much that day to crucify him is because he would not become who they wanted him to be. He didn't come to have his kingdom on this earth. He came because he stepped out of his kingdom to this earth to draw us back into his kingdom, which is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We're discussing being a servant today, in other words. But I really want you to hear me, and I want you to open up your heart today on what it is to be a servant in the body of Christ. Servant defined as a devoted and helpful follower or supporter. There's three areas that need to be addressed today. The love of God, the character of God's love in us, and serving others with that character of God's love. So in other words, the love of God has to be looked at and what it really means to us. I think today people have forgotten what the love of God means. It's different than having a love one for another in a marriage or a good friendship. You know that human love has been perverted greatly, especially in these last several years, what we see going on. It's perverted. It's beyond tarnished. Human love has been broken. But God's love is still pure and wonderful. And then we see the character of God's love in us. That character, when we get saved, that character of God's love is placed in our life. And then we need to serve others with that character of God's love. Not the way we may want to love someone, because we as human beings can get highly offended at times. Depending on your personality type, or depending on the strength of your personality, or depending on how you grew up. You can be offended really easy, or you can offend someone really easy. It can be very difficult today to be in love and to see that, what goes on, and to see how people treat one another in the world. But as Christians, we are under admonishment of the Lord, not to be a king, but to be a servant. To be a servant, to be one that would follow what the Bible says about God loving people. Many times people fall into the deception of serving God and not serving others also. I hear that I'm serving God. Someone told me one time they offended someone really bad. They really offended them horribly. And I went to them and I said, you know, you need to ask for forgiveness on this. And they said, I ask for forgiveness from God. That's all I need. That's not the Bible. Bravo that you went to God for forgiveness, but there is a sense that you need to go to that person and ask for forgiveness. You know, Jesus served mankind in such a way that he was crucified for it. He came to serve, not to be served. He was crucified for what he believed, what he did. He was so beautiful in his walk on this earth. He served people. He blessed people. There are times when we will need to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen, but there are also times that we need to serve with a servant's heart. And we're going to close with that section, and I'll show you something really beautiful that the Holy Spirit showed me when I was placing this message on the paper that I use. I can always tell, and I want you to hear this, because I've been a mentor for years, and let me tell you what something, and I really want you to hear this or write this down. I can always tell if someone will be a successful in ministry by the way they serve others. I can always tell whether they're going to be going down the road in ministry successfully on how they serve others. You know, how people sometimes want to serve is they're too busy to serve. Friend, you can't go into the ministry if you don't want to serve. I don't have time. If you don't have time to serve others, then you don't have time for ministry, because ministry is serving. That's just what it is. It's part of it. And if you're aloof to serving others, I will tell you that you will be aloof to servant leadership. You need to serve. You need to serve others. You know, when I go to meetings and there's all these great people that everybody has all this great respect for, and I'm eating dinner with them, or I'm in a place where we're gathered, let's say in a home of one of the ministers, and we're gathered there, I'm going to tell you what I do. I don't sit there. When they're through eating, or during the meal, I get up and I ask them, can I get them something to drink? Can I take their plate for them? Can I get them more food? And I was walking away from the table one day, and somebody looked at the other somebody, I'm not mentioning names, and said, you know, Dennis really has a servant's heart, doesn't he? And they say, yes, he does. And when the meal's all over, when the ladies are in the kitchen cleaning and fixing and getting everything out, and the men are out there, which is normal, catch me now, it's normal. They're out there talking football and everything and the stuff that men talk about. You know where I am? I'm in the kitchen with the ladies helping clean up and putting things away. I can't help myself. I believe in being a servant. And I think the key to walking successfully on this earth as a Christian, as a leader, is to serve. Is to be there and to reach out and to touch lives in such a way. I would be a horrible person today if I was preaching a message, but I didn't live the message. It'd be like the person that sat there and preached this awesome message on fasting. I mean, he had everybody on the edge of their seat. They were ready to fast immediately. He was so good at speaking, so good at delivering God's word. He was a master in it. And at the end of the sermon, he said, you know, I just spoke to you about fasting. I believe it's really good. I've never done it, but I hear it works. You see, what we have to understand is that we can always find a place in our life. I want to read to you something about the love of God, and Jesus himself told Peter this great truth in John 13, verses 6 through 15. This is really cool about Jesus. I tell you, there's many people, characters in the Bible that I would like to be. I would have loved to have been Simon, you know, the Cyrene. I would have loved to be that guy who carried his cross, you know. I really would have. I thought that would be really like off the map cool to do that. You know, I think it would be fantastic to be part of serving Jesus in every way possible. But at this particular point, and when I read this scripture, I would have loved to have been Peter that day. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never, ever wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. How many realize that Peter was an A-type personality? Okay. And how many realize that Jesus was the creator of all types of personality? So, Jesus said to him this, and I want to read it again. Replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then, here comes the A-type right back now, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. What he was saying is, you're not going to win this conversation. I'll have the last say. Jesus replied, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet. To be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him, that it was what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean.
After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done." He's sitting there literally saying to you, "I'm your Lord. I'm your teacher, but I just served you. I washed your feet." So the title is there, but the servant is greater. Do you know whose feet he washed that day? Judas. The one that was going to give him a kiss on the cheek. The one that sold him for 30 pieces of silver. The one that went behind his back, which is impossible to go behind Jesus' back. But he did. He washed Judas' feet. Right after this, he was on his way to the crucifixion. And in the time of that pressure, that anxiety, I mean, I can't even think what that would be like. To be washing the feet of the man who is about to sell you out. And he did it. And he said, "I have done the same." So he's saying to us there, my love goes beyond your thought. My love takes you to the places that even your enemy's feet need to be washed if you're going to be working through my love. If the church would come back to loving one another like God wants us to love, what he commands us to love. He doesn't invite us to love. It is a command to love beyond that. And if the church would rid herself of not the individuals criticizing, but rid herself of listening to the criticism. Do you understand what I just said? You don't need to throw people out. You just need to start listening. Because if a criticizer can't get anybody to listen, they're going to stop criticizing. You follow what I'm saying? You feel the importance of it? And what I mean by that, it's something so important what Jesus is saying. Do as I have done to you, even wash the feet of your enemies. Love beyond what you feel is capable of yourself doing. Listen to what I have to say. Jesus was referred to by God in John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God knew that we were yet in darkness. He gave his Son. We were enemies of the cross. And he came to die for us. He gave us the best gift he could give. And that's just something the church should be like. We should give our best to one another. I'm talking about everyday social life. I'm talking about, now I know some of you will be a little bit upset with me when I say this, but I'd rather you be upset with me than God be upset with me. Facebook is ruining the social aspects of the church. We have conversations like this. Yes, I'll be over sometime. Yes, I heard you. Yes. Instead of eyeball to eyeball contact, to where we're actually talking to one another. You don't believe me? Go into a room where everybody's got their phone out, or their iPad out, or their Galaxy out. And they're all sitting there in a room, silent, speaking to someone who's not in the room. You see, what I'm trying to say to you is you can't love people by staring at a phone. Thank you. And it's easy to stare at a phone. best. This is not some fluffy love that God prepared and performed through Jesus. This is the agape love that is pure and without tarnish or grain. God's love in us and is all around us. It's everywhere. It's in our life. It's who we are. But sin has caused us to be blinded to it. We gain sin. We want to sin more than we want to love people. You see, when you don't love each other, you fail because you do not listen to the command of Jesus, love your neighbor even as you love yourself. When you fail a command, it's a trespass, and a trespass is simply defined that you are not obeying a commandment of God. And so sin begins to blind you from loving one another. I mean, I have people on my prayer list that I pray, several hundred people on my prayer list, that when I go over their name, I know what they did. I know how they treated me. I know what they said. I don't know what they said because they said it to me, because they were people that would say it to someone else. But it would always get back to me, because I don't know why people love to come up to a pastor and tell them what the other person said. It's like, I want to say to you, so why do you want to slap me today? I don't want to know what they said. I don't really care what they said, because it's probably not going to be fluffy. But they're on my prayer list, and I pray for them. I ask God to bless them. I ask God to be with them. I ask God to draw them back to the kingdom of God. You say, you don't really do that, Pastor. Yeah, I do, because I'd rather pray than stare at this. I'd rather communicate with God. And by the way, just think, if God had a Facebook page. You know that one of those Facebook pages that you get, you know, you go down there and say, like, if this is really cool. You know, and I'm just making that up, you know, because there's so many different ones that are so distant and so close to home. And you look down and there's like 1,000,005 likes already before you like, and you are to like it, and you're going to be lost in the like pool. Just think of God on a Facebook page. You couldn't even put the number out there. Everybody would like God because they want God to like them. Where am I going? God wants to like you. He does like you. Matter of fact, He loves you even when you're in sin. But He wants the same love back. Not just a click. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to bless your family. Now let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you the story here in a moment, but the Good Samaritan in Luke is a prime example of God's character, of the character of God's love in us. God's love for mankind and how the religious have trimmed off their responsibility to that love. In Luke, in chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, a very, very well-known story. If you've been in church long enough, it's like David and Goliath. It's that popular of a story. It's like the prodigal son story. I mean, it's things that you can take hold of, and some preachers preach these, and they love them because it's really kind of a good little .5, .3 message that you can pull out of there and really drive it home and everything. But I don't want to use it like that today, because it isn't what I'm here to do. But I will tell you some points in this that are very important for you. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions. Sounds like the church. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Why does anybody want to mess with Jesus like this? I mean, he already knows what you're going to ask before he asks it. Why does anybody want to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I knew better, but I didn't. Please help me. And he's going to say, oh, yeah, okay. How do you do that? You should go to Jesus when you're not doing it right and say, you know what? I'm not doing it right. I'm just going to sit here till I get it right. I just know I need to ask you to forgive me. I'm going to go tell the people to ask me to forgive them, and I'm going to be forgiven by them, and they're going to forgive me, and we're going to get together. It's going to be great. Oh, God, thank you. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. You know, I see this all the time. I watched somebody one day, a very wealthy person, who I know very dearly and closely, in a business relationship only, a Christian, spirit-filled, Christian, goes to a great church that's known for the gifts and known for the prophetic. Amazing. A person that didn't have enough money came in to get a Bible. And that person was there and they said to the counter person, I'll buy the Bible for you. And they bought the Bible and the person reached out to shake their hand. And they said, no, let's go outside. They withdrew their hand. And they went outside and they prayed for the person at a distance. You see, what I'm saying to you, that there's a part of God that says, go beyond what you want to do or don't want to do. Go to where I want you to go. You see these hands, I've never not shaken a hand of anybody that was filthy. I get hugged by people that you see, or many people may be surprised, every week. I've never gotten lice. I don't have scabies. When I got through the Thanksgiving dinner, the event, we were packing everything up over at the Front Street Kitchen in Santa Cruz, getting things cleaned up. And this girl walks up, and I knew her father years ago. And this is his daughter now in the streets, and she walks up, and her dog is nipping at her wrist. She walks up, and she comes, and she gives me a hug. I give her a hug back. She goes, oh, Pastor, so good to see you. And I said, good to see you. Are you okay? She goes, yeah. She says, you see what my dog's doing? I said, yeah. The dog smells the scabies I got, and she's nipping at them all over my wrist and my arms. I've had them for a few weeks, and I'm covered with them. I didn't get them. I didn't get them. I'm just trying to say to you that there's a time in your life where you have to be able to go to a place, and I'm not saying that you must do this for God to love you, but I'm saying in church, there may be somebody that you feel like they're not as good as you are. And let me tell you something. Hug them. Because they are just as good in you as you are, for sure.
Amen.
Because we are all equal in the sight of God. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't love anybody more than the other. Praise God. So, you know, he walks to the other side and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. So he walked over. He had a little bit of compassion. He walked over just to size up the situation. I don't know what could have went through his mind. It could have been, wow, he's really beat up. He could have been interested. You know, there are some people that watch the news only because they're interested. They don't really care. There are some people, let's do it like this. You know when you're driving down the road and you know when the traffic gets stuck and the only reason it's stuck is because of what they call a rubber necker? Because instead of just driving in, they want to see everything that's done. They don't plan on pulling over and stopping. They just want to see everything that's going on. That's going to be this person. We have rubberneckers that go to church. They just want to see everything that's going on. They don't ever do anything, but they want to see everything that's going on. And when they're through looking, they just keep on walking.
Amen.
And we have to understand what we do with God and what He sees in our life. He wants us to know His love. He wants us, that love, to be alive in our hearts, to give that love to people. Then a despised Samaritan came along. They put that there because they want you to realize that this is the one you would never think would help. A despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. He felt God's love. There was a compassion. I can't walk away from this. This is what it's all about. I can't stop. I've got to move forward. I've got to take a hold of him. And he said, going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to the inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. That's the type of love we're supposed to have. Took him to the place where he could be repaired, stayed with him till he felt like he could complete it, left and made sure there was enough money there to take care of what other repairs needed to be done, mentally and physically, to the body. They had left him half dead. They beat him and robbed him, stripped him. The church walked by. But yet somebody who wasn't even part of the church stopped. It's the church's responsibility to stop first. It's the church's responsibility to serve. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits, Jesus asked. And the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, under point C now, serving others with that character of God's love. Then Jesus said, yes, now go do the same. Now you go do the same. Every one of us now should go do the same. We say, Pastor, I can't get around people. Sometimes they scare me. Then help somebody else get around people. That's what missions is all about. It's a full understanding, and psychology will tell you that, sociology will tell you that, that not everybody is called to one element. Not everybody can handle certain situations. Okay? But if we will help others do that, then you're part of it. Praise God. That's really amazing to me when you see that. And he's saying that none of us, so there's always a way to be a servant. I don't have time to serve. I've got other things I need to do. Now, Luke 10, 38 through 42. And Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Now, I want you to see this. This is with the Holy Spirit. When he spoke to my heart in prayer to put this down, I thought, this is going to kind of counterfeit what I'm saying, Lord. He said, just put it down and I'll speak to you. So I did it, and he spoke to me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. How many realize we have detailed people in church?
They're detail people. Detail, detail, detail. How many people, how many of you know that we have people in church that are not detail people? I'm a detail guy. You know, I'm an administrator. When I put something together, I plan it all out. I got it all there. I know how to do it. It's because God has gifted me. Matter of fact, I have people calling me on the phone now. They want to do some large things in their area where they live, and they want me to come in and consult and show everybody how to put together a large event. It's, to me, it's a no-brainer. It's nothing to put together something. I'm a detail person. I see details. That's why I noticed when I was worshiping that this candle was over here, this candle was over there. And this is something that drives me crazy. A napkin box was at the bottom of my pulpit. Details! So, you saw me? I moved it. Now I feel better about it, my ability to speak. I didn't want to see this detail, so I put it center where it should be. And I'm comfortable. Details. There are some people that are detailed people. Other people, they don't care. They don't even comb their hair when they come to church, some people. You know, they have hair going out this way, hair going up this way, you know, everywhere. They don't even comb. Some people, they don't, they, you know, I say, wow, your clothes don't match. Oh, I don't even notice that. They're not detailed people. You know, it's just how it is. I see everything. It's crazy to live like in my life. I observe everything. But that's who I am. But I don't allow the details to keep me from what Jesus is talking about here. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. So detailers, listen. Hear what I'm saying to this now? It's not contradicting what I'm saying. Detailers, you got to learn this. Listen. Don't be so busy all the time, detailers. But Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. In other words, Mary is a detailer to also. But she has discovered something that's really important. That you need also in your loving people and caring for people, serving people and having God's love explode in your life and going beyond what your human love says to stop at, going to the place where God's love says to go to with people, even in your details where you're trying to figure it out. There's a time where the detailer has to do what Mary has done and go and just sit at the feet of Jesus. And listen to him. Or if he doesn't say anything to him, sense his presence. But just sit there. Let me give you an example. We were years and years ago, we had this gathering of several ministers. Kind of an off-schedule gathering. It just kind of happened. We all ended up in one room down in Fresno. We were in a state meeting. We just all of a sudden seemed to end up in this one room. And there was, you know, all of us seemed to be people of prayer. So everybody was talking about prayer and, you know, and how they like to pray and the style of prayer they do and everything. It was kind of like a sharing session. And it was really cool. It was very humble. And, you know, very, nothing was prideful. So one of the pastors said, and, you know, I mean, this guy is renowned and respected in the church. So when he was about to say something, everybody stopped to listen, even if somebody's having a conversation over there. They wanted to know what his style of prayer was. He said, you know, I've listened to every one of you all today. He said, I'm so impressed. So I guess I should share what I do. And everybody's just like, I'm going to grab a hold of this formula, and I'm making it mine. It's the next paradigm of prayer. I'm going to write a book on it. All this stuff's going on. I know it's racing through everybody's mind. He says, you know, when I go to pray, I just sit down and listen. I mean, I just felt that. Run right through my body, right here. This great man of God who started 13 churches, church planted, mentored so many pastors that are full-time today. He said, I just sit down and listen. I would pray that you would feel what I just felt by the Holy Spirit in my heart. So no one can write a book about it. No one can make it their paradigm, because it would go against their coexistence with God to do all the talking, to be the A personality when you go in prayer. Tell God everything you need, how you want Him to do it, and when you expect the answer. And if you get tired of speaking in English, break out in tongues, because the devil can't understand it, neither can you, but maybe God will hear me. All the things that can go on there that just be really exciting and all that. But he said, I just sit down and see. And so, friend, you know, there's a time in your life where you have to recognize the love of God. You have to. If you're going to be a servant, you need to serve. If you're asked to do something, you're to serve. If anybody asks me to do anything, whether they are the general overseer to the overseer or the administrative district, to anybody without a title, ask me to do something, I will help them. If all possible, I will help them. Because I believe that that's what a servant leader should be. I don't have an excuse to be anywhere else. I will serve. That's how I gauge a leader coming up in the church, how well they serve. I find it wonderful. I find it awesome to stand in the kitchen with a couple of ladies cleaning up after the big dinners that were prepared for the leadership in the church. I find it wonderful to eat with the leaders that have identified me as one of their leaders. But to get their Coke or get their Pepsi, get their food, or to take their plate and put it in the garbage for them so they can continue in their conversation. I'd rather be that way than any other way. And then please recognize the character of God's love in you. I see it in you. I see it in you. It's there. If you're born again, it's got to be there. You just got to obey it. Which means serving others with that character of God's love. Now let me close now. I hope that I have spoken into your heart. I hope that you have embraced this message. As a church, we need to always know God's love and how it is designed for our life. We must have the character of God's love in us. Having that love active enough in us at all times. Not when we just feel like it. What I'm talking about today isn't I don't feel like it type thing. Oftentimes it's a sacrifice to serve. The act of serving others is as natural as breathing. These three areas of our relationship with God and also with others are pertinent to our reaching this world with the gospel of Christ. In other words, the world sees how we serve. The Spirit of the Lord showed me these two scriptures last night, and I'm just going to read them. And I want you to search your heart as I'm reading. I love you all so much. I am so glad to serve you. Peter stated it this way. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. Don't chase your own desires, but be anxious to do the will of God. How can I serve today? 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. But here's the last part of it. Use them well to serve one another.